In our sermons recently, we have looked at America's embrace of secular humanism and her rejection of the teachings of the Bible. We can now live any way we want. We can lie, we can steal, we can mistreat people, just do whatever feels good, smoke anything we want to smoke, drink anything we want to drink, anyway, act any way we want. The only problem is, all of that has consequences. So we need to know what God says about these matters, because God is not dead. God is real. You did not evolve from a speck in the ocean. You were created by the hand of God, special with a spirit animals do not have. And your spirit's going to live on throughout all eternity, so therefore you need to get this right. Just denying God doesn't make him go away. Thank God. Okay. Basically, secular humanism teaches us to rebel against God. TikTok recently advised young dating couples not to kiss on the first date. There's a lady, and I'll call her lady, maybe I shouldn't. Alexis Cooper, I think it's a lady. Anyway, has a podcast, Call Me Daddy. And when she heard that, she said, I not only kissed on the first date, I had sex with them on the first date. Now, in my day, you would not be able to get away with something like that. So how in the world have we come to this point? Somebody has been poisoning our mind against the Word of God. If God said it, it must be bad. It seems to be the attitude of these people. But having sex on the first date, that can have terrible consequences. It can destroy you. And a lot of people have multiple sexual relationships before they get married. After they get married, they're addicted to that kind of lifestyle and they can't quit. And they wind up divorced two or three times. And then you have a little thing called pregnancy. That's why this nation is so determined to keep abortion, because they got to have that to cover up their sin. If you get somebody pregnant, just kill it. The Bible has some very strong words for that. It's called human life is sacred, and if you take that life, you are a murderer. Now, women who've had abortions, I mean, ask God to forgive you and get on with your life. Amen. But don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore. I do not come to preach condemnation. If you allow condemnation to come on you, it's the devil, it's not me. That was heard, this person's advice, Alice Cooper, Call Me Daddy is the podcast. That was their advice to young people. And it certainly is totally contrary to common sense, not only contrary to the Bible. Here's what God says, Deuteronomy 11:26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Verse 27, the blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Verse 28, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments. I've been blessed most of my life because it's been my goal to obey his commandments, and I have discovered obeying his commandments keeps me out of trouble. And in Deuteronomy, it says, I don't remember the exact reference right now, but it says that God has given us his commandments for our good always. God did not give you his commandments to make you miserable, but to keep you out of trouble. Isaiah 59:1 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God. America is suffering one disaster after another because we have rejected God. Daniel 5:18, this is Belshazzar, king of Babylon. He was having a godless party, and he saw a handwriting on the wall. God saw what he was doing, and God didn't like it. How many believe that God is seeing what America is doing, killing all these babies, taking young girls and cutting their breasts off and doing hysterectomies, trying to turn them into a boy? You think God is not seeing all that? And he's going to hold you and me responsible if we sit back and don't say anything. Well, I wish you wouldn't preach like this. Well, I'm going to keep myself out of trouble with God. And you might want to keep yourself out of trouble with God by just speaking the truth when you have the opportunity. You have to use wisdom, but you got to speak the truth. So Belshazzar saw this hand came down out of nowhere and wrote on the wall. How many think that would upset you? It shock you. So they called Daniel, the great man of God. They said, Daniel, what is this? And he said, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father. Nebuchadnezzar is the one that defeated Israel and took them captive. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory, and honor. Nebuchadnezzar became a believer in God. Verse 22 says, but you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. You saw what your father went through, and you would think you'd humble yourself too and serve God. Verse 23, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. I mean, that's dangerous when you lift yourself up against the truth of God's word. This society has lifted itself up against the teachings of Jesus Christ, and like this Alice Cooper, whoever, says, oh, just do anything you want. On the first date, have sex, do anything you want to do. The Bible says if you practice these sins, you go to hell. And adultery and fornication is at the top of the list. You can't just do anything you want to. You say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, you will. If you don't get right with God. Okay. Verse 24, then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written. Mimi, Mimi, Tekel, Upharsin. Verse 26, this is the interpretation of each word. Mimi, this is the interpretation of what was written. This is the interpretation of each word. Mimi, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. God doesn't like what you're doing. You're exalting yourself and your philosophy against God, and he's had it with you. And this wasn't Jerusalem. This wasn't Israel. This was a pagan nation, but God watches over pagan nations and holds them accountable too. Verse 27, Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. That scares me. I have been weighed in the balance. Have I been found wanting? And then 28, Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. God will hold all of us accountable sooner or later when we exalt ourselves against the truth of his word. This nation is really headed for trouble if we, God's people, don't do what we're told to do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. The salvation of this nation is up to you and me. Well, this nation's wicked. Well, it says if we would repent and pray, he'll save the thing. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And so God took down a king, Belshazzar. Don't you worry about ungodly leaders. God has a way of taking them down if you'll do your part and pray for our leaders. If I will do my part and pray for our leaders. I pray, try to pray 3 hours a day, and a lot of that is praying for our leaders. Yay. You don't have to like them. You just have to do what you're told to do. We're told to pray for our leaders. The Lord said, you have lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven. See, this is what our society is doing, not just a few leaders, but our society, denying the Creator God and exalting ourselves, saying, well, I'm God now. I can do anything I want to do. That's basically what secular humanism teaches. And I mean, they're not embarrassed by it. They actually come right out and say it. You know, the man is really basically his own God. He can do whatever he wants to do. The only problem with that is God doesn't agree with that. And God is real. The proof is in the pudding. Our society is a total disaster. It's dangerous to go outside. And Knoxville was supposed to be a good place, but it's dangerous to go outside at night here. And he said, amen, especially in a lot of places. It's almost every day across this country that a young woman is raped, murdered, and her body thrown in the ditch or in the woods somewhere. Are you not noticing what's going on? It's because we've been taught just do whatever feels good. Whatever's right for you. There's no right or wrong. The Ten Commandments are irrelevant. That's what they say. But I'm an arbiter of truth. So I must teach the truth. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're in trouble. America's in trouble, and here's why. In order to remove Christianity from our classrooms and from America, they created a mythical separation of church and state. I want to show you the truth about that. Y'all got a few minutes? We need to know the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth has set you free. They created a mythical separation of church and state. I'm going to just show you. Which is the separation of God from state. It's not about separating church from state. It's about separating God and his Bible from our state, from state business and state government, so we all can do anything we want to do, including murder. Are you shocked that many people now are saying people are justified in killing politicians? They're actually saying that. They're going to be justifying killing preachers next. Matter of fact, they've already killed one. Kirk, can you say amen? Charles Kirk. There was no separation of church and state as defined today until 1947 and 1962 when the ruling came down to the Supreme Court that prayer was no longer legal. I was sitting in the classroom when it came down. When the Constitution was ratified by the states, the Bible was a textbook in the schools, and most politicians believed in Jesus Christ in the Bible. We are coming up on our 250th birthday celebration, and we need to know the truth about our Christian roots. We need to know the truth about our founding fathers. Some of them owned slaves, and somehow that invalidates everything they did. It was the world custom from the beginning of time until the Civil War to have slaves. And so not justified in any way, but just because they owned slaves doesn't mean they were evil people. George Washington owned slaves, and he felt guilty about it toward the end of his life, and he freed his slaves, as I said last week, in his will. He set them free. So it took a while for people to evolve, and then it took a civil war to get rid of slavery, but the United States of America got rid of it, so it's time we celebrated and quit complaining about something people did 200 years ago. Until the time of the Constitutional Convention, each state was independent and wrote its own constitution. This will shock you and bless you all at the same time. They had biblical and Christian qualifications for their leaders. The Pennsylvania Constitution contained these qualifications, and not only in Pennsylvania, but the other 13 colonies had similar rules. Now listen, and they call it the frame of government here, Section 10. And each member of the legislature, before he takes his seat, shall make and subscribe to the following declaration. Here's what, to be a politician in that day, here's what you had to declare. I do believe in one God. How many of our politicians would fail that test right now? Just that much. I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked. Boy, don't you wish our politicians believed that. The only purpose I can see in the Bible for government is to honor the righteous and punish the wicked, to protect us from people who murder and rape our daughters and women and murder them and throw their bodies in the ditches. It's time that we realize that we have that the government is responsible for that. Amen. Amen. To protect our ladies if not us men, at least our ladies, for crying out loud. It says, they must say this, declare this, I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked, and I do acknowledge the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. That's what they required other politicians. And these are the 13 colleges that approved the Constitution and the amendments. Do you believe that they had any intention of separating God from state? No, they did not. We've been lied to. He said, well, how do you know this is true? Because I went and looked it up. I found this in the Yale University Library, and it is the Constitution of Pennsylvania, dated September 28, 1776. Here it is right here. I highlighted that part where they had it required, and it's right there where they required them to be godly people that confessed the Word of God and believed in the Word of God, and I'm going to lay it right here. Well, I don't know if that really happened. There it is. They did not separate God in the Bible from government. They built the government on God's word. You cannot separate the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the amendments to the Constitution. You can't separate those from the Word of God because they're based on the Word of God. These are the people who ratified the Constitution of the United States of America and the amendments. They did not vote for separation of church and state or God and state. Now, why did the states ratify the First Amendment? To guarantee that the... Thanks, Nancy. I need your help. To guarantee that the federal government could not pass laws to take religious freedom from the states and the people. That's why they had that First Amendment. The secular humanist Supreme Court judges in the past have used the First Amendment to remove God's word from almost everything. They have interpreted the First Amendment to mean the federal government cannot allow prayer, the Bible, and Ten Commandments, or Christian symbols in government. Actually, it means almost exactly the opposite. They cannot stop prayer and Bible reading and the display of the Ten Commandments and religious activity in the states. Legally, they can't do it, but they did it. Why? Because we wound up with secular humanist Marxists on the Supreme Court. Now it's going the other way, and they are furious. That's why they're talking about stacking the court and all these things, because they were using the courts to get their way. You see, these original states ratified the First Amendment. Congress shall have no law, shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the first amendment. That's what everybody talks about. The hang up for the secular humanist Marxists is Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. They're talking about the Church of England. The Church of England really had the head of the Church of England was the king. The government and the religion were mixed. King got to make decisions concerning the church. And our founding father says, we don't want that. And how many of you want that? You want the government having a religion that we have to honor? Or a denomination? What if they made the Baptist king and we had to all line up and be Baptist? Okay. That's what they were talking about. And they make it very clear for intelligent people, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. When you tell people they can't pray in school, that's prohibiting the free exercise of the First Amendment to be able to pray in school if they want to. And now the Supreme Court has become, got a few more Christians on there. The most popular and the greatest, more influential one is Clarence Thomas. He's done more to turn this nation back around than probably anybody else in this nation. And they have tried to crucify him, impeach him, and it's all because he's a Christian that believes abortion is murder. They hate him because he is a Christian. They have come up with everything, trying to impeach him, condemn him, and they hadn't been able to prove anything bad on him. And they never will, because he's a godly man. And I'm not getting involved in politics, because this is not politics. This is the Bible. This is the truth. And I'm defending a Christian, Clarence Thomas. He is the one that really pushed really hard to overturn Roe versus Wade and get rid of abortion. Doesn't matter what you believe about it, that's what he did. And they would say, well, you can't overturn a Supreme Court decision. He says, well, why? If it's a bad decision, why can't you overturn it? That's what Clarence Thomas said. And they did overturn it. Clarence Thomas is one of the reasons I have a little hope for this country. We finally have somebody that's willing to take a stand for Christian principles and not bow. I think God is sick and tired of his people bowing to ungodly people and ungodly teachings. You see, they did not want a state church. That's what it was all about. Prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You cannot have a law that prevents the free exercise of religious belief. Christian belief is what they're talking about. The federal government cannot legally stop students, teachers, administrators of our schools from the free exercise of religion, Christian religion. This was never a law. Congress did not make that law. It was the Supreme Court that made a decision. The Supreme Court made it law, but it wasn't made law by the legislature, which is legal. That's the way it's supposed to be. This was never a law. It was a legal Supreme Court ruling. The current court is beginning to change some of these things. That's why people are so upset with the court. Courts have no right to tell a Christian businessman they must participate in a gay wedding because it is prohibiting the free exercise of their faith. Now, whatever you believe about that, that's your business. But the Supreme Court has no right to make those kind of rules. And I love gay people, and I'm not in any way condemning gay people or being mean to them. The Bible does say that lifestyle is sin, and I have to say that. But I love them just the same. I am expected by God to be a good Samaritan to a gay person just like anyone else. Can you say amen? I know some people kind of frown at me over that. But no, I love everybody. I'm going to help everybody. I'm not going to agree with their behavior if it's contrary to Scripture. But at the same time, I got to love them. And you do too if you don't go to heaven. Amen. These judges have changed the Constitution at will. They found same-sex marriage legal because of equal dignity. Where's anything the Constitution talks about equal dignity? They made that up. A woman's right to privacy gives her a right to kill her unborn baby. No matter what you believe about these matters, judges do not have the legal right to rewrite the Constitution. If a woman has the right to privacy to murder the unborn, she has a right to privacy to murder her 3-year-old. So these people just made this stuff up. These judges read their own humanist agenda into the Constitution. And somebody's got to just say they're wrong. And about the only place you can get it is the pulpit. Can you say amen? The Danbury Baptist Association, here's how it started. The Danbury Baptist Association asked Thomas Jefferson about a rumor that Congress was going to establish a national denomination. And you can Google all this stuff and look it up. You can find legal documents like that that will teach you the truth. It takes a little work. Thomas Jefferson answered on January the 1st, 1802, that the First Amendment built a wall of separation between the church and state, meaning Congress cannot establish a denomination. What was the question? are you going to establish a national denomination? Jefferson said, no, you can't do that because the Constitution does not permit it. That's all he said, all he meant. But they grabbed that word separation. So, we got to separate the church from the state. And meaning we got to separate the Bible from the state. Meaning we got to separate God from the state so we can live any way we want to. We got to have freedom from religion. They actually teach that and preach that and proclaim that. That's their goal, is to have freedom from religion. For them to have freedom from religion in America means you and I have to shut up. We can't testify. We can't practice our religion at all. I'm not going to do that. The wall of separation. You see, Jefferson didn't say the separation of the Bible and state. And that's easy to prove. Thomas Jefferson used the Bible, and you can prove this easily, no problem. Thomas Jefferson used the Bible as a textbook in his schools. He meant the opposite. You can practice your religious beliefs without government interference. That's what he meant, and that's what he practiced. About 200 years later, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't allow prayer in school. And it had already been taking place for a couple hundred years nearly. How did the Constitution change in midstream? It didn't change. They were reading into it their humanist agenda, is to eliminate God. Well, I'm telling you, God's kind of hard to eliminate. Amen. Okay. Secondly, humanists have used the Supreme Court, used the separation rather of church and state to take over public schools, to promote their agenda, and trying to liberate America from the Word of God. And we're going to pray and believe God. Can you say amen? Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I've got to quit. But one more thing. Just this Friday, day before yesterday, school systems all over America supported a May Day protest, which is and has been the celebration of communism, even in the Soviet Union. Wow. What do the communists believe? They believe in outlawing the freedom of religion. This was taking place in our streets all over this nation Friday. And they brought our school kids with them. And they have said their goal is to use the school system to turn this nation to secular humanism. And that leads straight to communism, because they do not believe in God. They deny the freedom of religion. They have said it is their goal to take over our schools. Clarence Thomas has been under attack, as I said, since his nomination to the Supreme Court, because he is a Christian who believes and speaks his beliefs. He just gave a speech last week. It's amazing how all these things are coming together right now. He gave a speech last week saying our freedoms come from God and not from the state. Just last week. He's one of the greatest men of God this nation's ever produced. That's my humble opinion. And you can study him for yourself. Let's stand.